Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our subject is the unchanging kingdom and its unity. Now, this study is especially useful in the midst of efforts of some to change the church. I suggest when somebody says change, we need to ask from what to what and why and by whose authority. Change is sometimes beneficial, and sometimes it can be deadly. Our study is one of the fundamental points of the gospel of truth, and we must never let that truth slip away from us. The unchanging kingdom and its unity. Oneness and unity sometimes is a very popular subject, but it should not be confused with mere togetherness. The ecumenical movement was given a great push by one of the Vatican councils. It's been urged along by Protestant mergers, religious groups adopting new rules, changing beliefs and doctrines, securing new and different names, negotiating, compromising, drawing up new contracts, and thereby changing the face of the groups involved. There are those who would change God's unchangeable kingdom to fit the mold of the denominations. Such has been one of the hidden but not too subtle goals of some of these so-called summit meetings that liberals conduct. Now, this is a switch from a few years ago when denominational clergymen were thanking God for the many churches so man might have his choice as to how to serve him. Indeed, the pendulum swings from choice to oneness, and now the cry is unity in diversity, which means division continues, but it just doesn't matter. Separatism is politically incorrect. People had rather get together than to be converted to the one faith. There is, therefore, an indifference toward what is believed. I'm okay, you're okay, everything is beautiful in its own way, do your own thing, just be sincere and love. My friend, those who so contend do not understand Christian love or the unity that the Lord wants and what it involves. Amos 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? God does not want mere union. He wants unity. To agree to disagree is heresy. That's not unity. Those who clamor for unity and diversity really want fellowship in spite of division. Now, the papacy wants unity, but all under the authority of the Pope. Many Protestant churches have liberalized their doctrines to promote togetherness. And generally speaking, the so-called unity being achieved is not the unity of the Bible, just as everything that's called Christian is certainly not Christian according to the Bible. Some are so liberal they're willing to accept almost anything in order to have fellowship and joint services with those who even deny Christ. It's like some years ago I heard a rabbi speak on the Dead Sea Scrolls in a meeting that was begun by a prayer by a Methodist clergyman, and that clergyman announced that he would not pray in the name of Christ out of respect for the speaker. Can you imagine such a thing? Some misguided and digressive brethren also work for that kind of unity with the Christian church and other denominations, using about the same approach, sacrificing truth, compromising truth, surrendering the authority of the Scripture. The way to unite, friend, is relatively simple. So, namely, follow the biblical pattern. But some prefer friendship with the world. They want their summits, their joint worship services. They want to exchange teachers. They want that more than they do the truth. And faithful brethren will never accept that platform. To be united, we must resolve our differences according to what the Word of God teaches. Otherwise, our so-called unity will undo us. Now, we can have union without unity, and even have unity without God. We can all be united in error, but His kingdom is united. It stands for true unity on the right basis, following, thus saith the Lord. Religions used to be classified according to the designations of Catholic or Protestant or Jew. With multiculturalism growing, these three are far too limited. But the Lord's church never fits those kind of classifications. The kingdom is the same as the Lord's church. Now, in this lesson, we will not belabor this oft-proved truth, but unity is the plea of New Testament Christians. Jesus taught unity. He prayed for unity. His apostles taught unity. And all division, like that of which we speak among the denominations, results from sin. Division among brethren is because somebody departs from truth. We're taught to separate ourselves from the world. But it may become necessary to divide from some because they must be disciplined. It's because they teach error and they will not repent of it. To adhere to the truth may call for no fellowship. It may call for division because some will not follow the truth. The basis for unity is the gospel. We read of the seven ones in Ephesians chapter 4. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Friend, the one body is the church, Ephesians 1:22-23, and the church is his kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse 13. We have the one king who reigns on the one throne in heaven, Acts 7 and verse 29. We serve God under the one royal law, which is the law of Christ, James 2 and verse 8. There is but one shepherd over the flock, the one flock, John 10 and verse 16. And we are to walk by the same rule, Philippians 1 and verse 27. And we are to be of the same mind and the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. The church is founded by one founder, which is Jesus Christ, on the one foundation, which is Christ, Matthew 16:16 through 18. And while there may be many members, indeed there are, there is but one body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Dear listener, this will never, ever change. Now some may leave, some may ridicule this, they may ignore it, they may berate it, they may scoff at it, they may deny it, but they cannot and they will not change it. Consider passages as you learn of the unity of the Bible. Galatians 1:8-9 forbids other gospels. When you read from the book of Philippians, oneness is emphasized. Division is condemned by Paul when writing to the Corinthians. We are to follow his authority, Colossians 3 and verse 17. John tells us to bid Godspeed to those who do not follow the doctrine of Christ means we become partakers of evil. Our standard must be the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. And unity demands agreement by the acceptance of the word and conformity to sound doctrine, Titus 2, verses 1 and 8. It means faithful in practice as well. Unity permits no addition or subtraction from the divine rule, and it allows no variance concerning those matters where God has spoken. Now, there's a difference between matters of doctrine and faith and matters that are of human opinion. To fail to properly and correctly rightly divide the word of truth will cause division over matters that ought never be sources of division and will cause us to relegate God's word into the realm of human option and human opinion. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. That's a good guide. Unity in doctrine, charity in opinion, that's the right way. And only in this way do we show respect for God's word. Teaching regarding weak brethren in these chapters is sometimes misused by liberals to contend for toleration of false doctrine. The chapters of Romans 14 and 15 are so abused by those who want to allow most anything. What is considered in these chapters are matters of indifference, matters of human opinion, not matters of faith and doctrinal differences. To take these verses and apply them to doctrinal differences is to abuse God's word in the vain attempt to accommodate false teaching. Now some wail that adherence to truth is legalism, it's dogmatism, it's unloving, it's partyism, they call it. They even say it's self-righteousness and intolerance and judgmental. And I would only suggest you tell that to the Lord. He's the one that commanded it. But what is more loving than advocating truth above the ways of men? What is more judgmental than condemning those who love the truth? What is more divisive than false doctrines? What is more legalistic than making man's will superior to God's revealed will? Are we permitted to tolerate what God says he would not tolerate? Have we no obligation to recognize and criticize that which is contrary to the revealed will of God? The trouble with some of these who profess love is that they love their own way, rather than God's way. They would dethrone God, and they would enthrone themselves. How would you ever calculate the immense destruction caused by division? It provokes alienation of brethren. It creates confusion and unbelief. It divides homes. One story is very illustrative of the havoc of division. One little boy one Sunday, seeing his mother go one way and his father go another, commented that he wished God had made only one church so they could go together. Well, the fact is, God did make only one church. But men have created many others, and the division that results. Consider the waste and the duplicity of resources and manpower in the operation of the many churches. Division cultivates the soil for atheism and disbelief in Christ, John 17:21. Division erodes religious and moral influences without which no society can be what it ought to be. God will not hold those who promote this kind of division guiltless. And why should we think, as some would have us to think, that holding firm to the truth is not the spirit of Christ? Did not our Lord stand without change regarding the establishment of his kingdom? And even though some rejected him, did he give up his plan and return to heaven a failure? Was not his mission an unchanging one to save the lost? Does his plan of salvation for man change from time to time and from place to place? Where do his promises change? Where are his warnings changed? What is it that he expects of us that he has changed? He has that unchanging desire for unity based upon the one foundation of his truth, a true brotherhood of obedient believers who stand together in Christ. Paul taught that the work of the church was speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. It is not love to soft-pedal God's truth. It is not love to tell people how to feel good in spite of the fact that they're remaining in their sins. It is not love to withhold truth from the lost. It is not love to allow those in error to continue in error without their error being brought to their attention that they may correct it. It is not love to ignore sin and false doctrines. It is not love to compromise God's truth in order to get along with others. When you truly love, you will seek the other's highest good. And there is no way for anybody to do that without seeking unity based on truth. It is not love to be a party with the change agents who seek to turn the Lord's church into just another denomination that is acceptable with the religious world. God does not allow men to change his kingdom to accommodate themselves and dismiss his doctrine as being nothing more than the result of ancient culture. We should not be willing to stand alongside anybody that seeks such as that. The church has had problems since its beginning on the first day of Pentecost, following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into heaven. Shortly after the church began, disturbances began to arise, first over one thing, then another. The early church was beset with false doctrines about Judaism, about the Lord's Supper, the resurrection, settling disputes, matters of morality, the conduct toward one another. The imperfections of man have always created problems. And it's no different in our day as we seek to be and to proclaim the same church approved of God of which we read in the New Testament. Nor should we expect the church to ever be totally free of problems. But this is our watch. Our time is now for service. As was said to Esther by her cousin Mordecai, "Who knoweth whether or not thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther 4 and verse 14. And while liberals and human legalists would divide and change the church and trouble the unchanging kingdom with their extremes and departures from truth, dear friend, we must stand always ready to fight the good fight and to defend the faith. Remain steadfast without wavering, and never submit to man's attempts to change what God has determined shall not change. Division is a powerful weapon in the arsenal of Satan, often placed in his hands by the very ones who war against him. We should strive never to be a part of creating unjustified division within, about, or concerning the kingdom. And someday, this united kingdom of Christ will be delivered to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, and those in that kingdom shall live forever with God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.